Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Anytime you guys hear that music, you know you are listening to At Home with Victoria. Good evening, everybody. I want to thank you so much for taking your time this evening to be here. I am television journalist Victoria Gaither, and the one that everybody, I think, really listens to the show to hear is the wonderful entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Was that not a good introduction, Michael?
I hope. Oh, you are just too kind, news lady. I'm humbled by the kindness of your intro.
Well, you know, I do try, considering the fact basically you have given me about three shows off as we prepare for summer. We've been kind of busy down here at the beach, so I must just, you know, say wonderful things about you as a result of that. But listen, Michael, it dawned on me that a lot of new listeners we get on At Home with Victoria, and some of them may not actually know about Web Wednesday. So if you would be so kind as to do me a quick favor and just kind of tell everybody about Web Wednesday and how it got started before we do our little rundown of our guest tonight.
Absolutely. Web Wednesdays basically just sounded better than Web Thursdays. So Web Wednesdays is me going ahead and surfing the internet, searching for the top web talent and in music and entertainment and in the arts. And I bring them to you Wednesday weekly. And it's been fantastic. Met some fantastic people. And working on really, Vic, right now, about 22 shows I have in pre-production. You're going to be so excited with the season's lineup. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I know, and also just to sort of give a quick shout-out, because you have connected with some wonderful folks that work in PR that have been sending us these guests, and like I said, I've missed about three shows, but from the numbers, it's clear people are loving the shows, and despite the Web Wednesday just sounded better, and we decided to do it on Wednesday, it certainly seems like that it has been successful. But we've got, you know, three pretty successful people that's going to be on the show tonight, so who's on tonight?
Tonight I'm excited to go ahead and introduce everybody to T.M. Reeves. He has written a book called New York, The Secret. Let me just go ahead and double check.
A Secret New York, an Unusual Guide,
absolutely, which is basically telling everybody in New York to revisit their own city. It tells you things that I haven't heard of half these places. I thought when we developed, when we saw The High Line with Steve Silverman, that was one of New York's hidden gems. So he's going to be here, and he's written a new book available on Amazon.com. And then Mark Sanders is hosting an event for the Charm City Animal Rescue out of Baltimore, No Kill Shelter, and he's going to be calling in a little bit later to tell us about the event. And then we're going to catch up a little bit with Chase Allen. He's been to the show before, Nashville native, and he's got some very exciting news, Vic. And I'm so proud of the little guy. He's really making his way through the world. So let's start with a little bit of music. This is Chase Allen with Let Me Go. When we get back, T.M. Reeves is in the house.
I roll out of your life all night.
yourself why you hold on, but you're not around. No, nothing will ever change us. It's time we say goodbye. Let me go.
Radio husband and best friend, I'll never let you go. Now, one person that's really not going anywhere, except for about maybe 25 after the hour, is T.M. Rees. And again, he is actually joining us, but he's got a fabulous book out about New York. And Reeves, as we've been talking, I've actually been posting the link from Amazon about your book on all of our social networking pages on Facebook and Twitter and all over the place. So, again, Michael and I welcome you to the show. So how is it that you got involved with this project?
Well, the publisher his name is Thomas de Jonglet. He's a Frenchman, and he had been publishing these books for major European capitals. And I was in Venice visiting a friend where I used to live, and he had all of these books that he'd been translating because he's a professional translator. And I thought, these are very, very cool. If I ever had to write any kind of guidebook of any sort, I would want it to be like this, because what the whole series does is it looks for the things that the tourists don't look for. It looks for the hidden secrets, some of the weird history, things that might surprise you, things that you'd walk by 1,000 times and didn't look at. And so when I got back to New York, this friend called me a week later and said that the publisher was looking for someone to do the first book on an American city. And so I snapped it up. I was living – one of his rules is if you write the book, you have to be living in the city. And I live in Manhattan, and so it seemed like a perfect fit. And that was a year of my life.
Wow.
And I can tell you one thing, Michael Kay absolutely just loves New York, and he had actually said to me before we started the show tonight that he thought that he knew all there was to know about New York. But Michael, I guess that's changed, right?
No, it certainly has. I mean, the last time Reeves were there, we toured it with Steve Silverman, and he showed us the High Line. Which I had no idea even that existed, but I found that to be a delicious little treasure. Where does the High Line start, Rudy? About 23rd, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, a little bit above that. It's been slowly creeping in both directions.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic place. I think it would be a little bit scary to walk at night, mind you, but it's not at all. It's
magical.
Safe.
It's absolutely magical. Yeah, if you don't mind impromptu sex shows, which I don't know if you heard about kids.
Yeah, because you're walking by so many windows. That's for sure.
But not only that, people were doing this deliberately. The Standard Hotel, they had this sexy image when they formed it. And people were saying, you know, there are people who do this, I don't want to say professionally, but people who do this habitually. And they were all connected through social media. So they would say, look at the third window from the left and the second one down at exactly 8:35. And that's when the show starts. And so, of course, there were, you know, families from Wisconsin with seven kids that were completely appalled. But
oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's
the other ones
brilliant.
Were fulfilling their deepest desire.
Yeah, let me ask you, TM, when you sought out to do this, did you already know a lot about New York, or did you find out a lot about New York as you wrote this?
Well, I spent many years in Europe, and so I was used to a certain degree of historicity in cities, and it was something that I had been missing when I was living in the United States. And I'm from California, which has a very shallow history, generally, a visible history, easily accessible history. And so when I came to New York, I was really excited that I was finally living in a city in the United States that had so much to offer. New York is kind of famous, and justly so, for a certain degree of disregard for the past. They tear down and they rebuild, and they do it with aplomb. But at the same time, there are these places that you can discover if you look hard enough. And I was immediately in love with the city, and I wanted to find out as much as I could about it. And when I started the project, I knew that it was something that I could I thought for sure I could do it. I have, you know, 40 or 50 ideas already that I think would be suitable. And when I got through those, then I went through the whole process, which was a little bit more difficult than I thought it would be of finding the rest. So there are 200 places in all. And I would say that I went into it with maybe a quarter already in mind of what maybe a little bit less of what I would do.
Right. One of the places that you spoke about was actually the Palazzo Chupi, the quirky West Village building home belonging to Julian Schnabel. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is interesting. This is something that, you know, there are all sorts of – anytime you have a historic neighborhood, there will sprout some organization that tries to protect it, and this is all well and good. And this was an instance where someone's personal vision just had full collision with this group, and it was Julian Schnabel. He decided to build this amazing building, and it's originally a horse carriage, and on top of it he literally perched a Venetian palazzo, and the color was in the book I write radioactive scarlet. It was if you could imagine something between pink and red, and then turn them up to their, you know, highest neon potential. That was what the color was initially. Now it's faded to a pink, and I think the last time I was there actually was under scaffolding. But people went absolutely nuts because it didn't fit, and obviously that was the point. You know, when he built it, he didn't build it to fit in with the rest of the village. And so this was something that was kind of interesting to see someone who would completely get along with these sorts of people. In this situation, it didn't work at all, and people were protesting outside of the place. And when they got tired or when they needed to use the bathroom, he would invite them in the house, and they would use his toilet, and they'd go back outside and pick up their sign again and shake their fist. So I don't know exactly how it ended. I know that the place is still there.
Mm-hmm. And, wow. You know, something that I wanted to ask you, and just also for the record again, you guys can find his book, Secret New York, An Unusual Guide. It's on Amazon, and Michael and I have been posting that link. The price I'm looking at right here, you can get it for $15.32, and I might add free shipping on orders over $25. So I think you guys should definitely go for it. But something that I thought was really cool, I was looking at the customer reviews, and you pretty much have five stars, and I wanted to read some of the reviews. I was talking to Michael about this before the show. I'm like, man, this guy has some great reviews. So this one says, awesome. Highly recommended, fantastic, don't let this book be a secret, don't leave home without it, Secret New York, An Unusual Guide, fabulous, great resource, hidden treasure. So it's clear that people that have purchased the book based on these customer reviews really do like it. What kind of feedback, besides what I just said, have you been hearing from people?
I think my fondest feedback is when there's someone who's a New Yorker born and bred, and when you share some of these things with them, or you give them the book. You know, I have several friends that I've given the book to, where they come back at you and they say, I really like it when they haven't heard of the places, although that's not totally necessary to me. But when they say that the city is well represented, I'm happy with that comment. I think that one of the things that I really tried to do with the book is to make it feel alive. So when I was in a place that was interesting, you know, let's say, you know, there's the remnant of the Polo Fields. It was the last baseball field in Manhattan, and you can see the very last remnant. It's an old staircase that has this iron railing, and it's completely neglected. It's overgrown. It's full of trash, and you wouldn't know it's there. And when I was there, there were these, you know, all sorts of people around it that were completely ignoring it. That had nothing to do with it. But it's interesting to see what the, if you like, kind of the local fauna, how it perceives a place. And so I would talk to everyone. So when I talked to these people there, they told me something very interesting. There was a guy there that who was in his mid-60s, and he remembered very clearly when he used to sit on that hill and watch free games, because it was the place where you could do that. And so it was interesting to be able to connect it to a place, to connect it to a person. If you could make someone talk, give them a bit of dialogue, make them feel like a real person for a couple of minutes, for me, that was absolutely necessary, because a city isn't just these places. The city, it's the people. It's people who live here. We New Yorkers make New York. So I wanted to give New Yorkers a voice.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. So one more question from me before Michael Kay takes over. I have always been fascinated, and you can probably tell me this. I don't know if you have anything in the book about it, as I haven't actually read it yet. And my fascination with what I'm about to say really comes from television movies, Law and Order, and just, you know, the mystique of New York itself. This whole thing with the underground subway systems and people living there, is that really true?
Yeah, it is. It is true. There was a book that came out, I'm going to say, I don't know, maybe 92, 93, and it was called The Mole People. And it was a storm of criticism because it had copied certain information and had exaggerated certain other information. But this is when it was really on the radar, that there were people living underground in New York, and the book had some extremely vivid descriptions, and not all of them were completely true. If you want something that's much better, you should see a documentary called Dark Days. And the documentary is completely about what the author of Mole People based most of the book on, and then kind of extrapolated and exaggerated. There was an Amtrak tunnel that from the 1960s, when the rail system here became went into disuse, this tunnel, until the 90s when it was reactivated by Amtrak. There was a tunnel that is the entire length of Riverside Park. So when you're on Riverside Park on the west side of Manhattan, underneath you, at every point, there's a gigantic train tunnel. And there were hundreds of people living there. For some of them, it didn't see the light of day for over a decade or more. And this was a true underground subterranean shantytown. It's absolutely true.
Wow, I'll definitely check that out. Michael?
Yeah, I thought what you meant by living there, I thought they would, you know, take up residence there and then go to work, and then, you know, housing in Manhattan is on such a shortage. I thought we were just using a temporary housing.
Well, you're absolutely right. Some of them did use it that way, but they were ingenious. They had electrical cords down there. Some of them had electricity. Some of them had, they passed their time finding objects on the surface, and then they'd bring them back and fix them up, and then they would sell them on the street. There was an entire industry and an economy based around these subterranean people, and it was fascinating.
Wow.
And then they were brutally and acrimoniously ejected in the 90s. And now you can, I put it in the book, you can walk the length of that tunnel. It's illegal. It's the only trespass that I put in the whole book, but it was irresistible. You can very easily go into this tunnel and walk the length of it. You'll see trains go by, and you'll see amazing graffiti. You won't see any albino cannibals, at least in my experience. And you'll see some, and you'll have an interesting story to share.
Yeah, no, that's certainly interesting. Once again, as Victoria mentioned, you can go ahead and check out the book on Amazon.com. If you want to know more about TM, you can find him out at tmrives.com. TM, out of all the features that you actually put into the book, what was your most scintillating? What was your biggest meat pie that you thought, oh, my, I can't believe I found this?
It's funny because the ones that appeal to me aren't the ones that appeal to other people. So, you know, your listening audience might be a little bit underwhelmed. But the ones that gave me a little bit of shine in my mind were ones that I had uncovered kind of accidentally. And one of them was, I spent a lot of time on the book in the New York Historical Society library. And I was looking through an unpublished manuscript by this guy named Reginald Pelham Bolton. And if you know New York history, you probably recognize the name. This is the guy for Washington Heights in Upper Manhattan. He's the one who did the first Indian excavations, and he was a nut for the subject. He cataloged the entire area, and he wrote this. He had this manuscript that was there in the library, and I was just reading it because I wanted to find out something about Washington Heights. And he mentioned that there were these milestones that were all the length of Manhattan. I mean, Manhattan's 14 miles long. Mile zero is City Hall, and then every mile there would be one of these sandstone milestones, and they're about 2 feet tall, and they just say, whatever miles to Manhattan, and that's it, or whatever miles to New York. And this was part of the Boston Post Road that was the most important intercity thoroughfare at that time, and which followed an old Indian trail, incidentally, which makes it even cooler. But Benjamin Franklin, who was the Postmaster General, put this milestone policy in place because he wanted to be able to regularize postal fees. And so you can find these stones were fascinating to me because they're limited. There's only 14. You can collect them. You can find out where they all went. And it's funny because I came across, I went on the research tail of historians had just been going crazy trying to find them all, and some of them are just gone forever. 13 and 14 had never turned up. 11 is in the Morris Jumel Mansion. Number 10 is in the New York Historical Society collection. Number 12 was mentioned in this manuscript, and he said, if you go to Isham, as most people say it, or Isham Park in North Manhattan, you will find embedded in the wall number 12. And I thought, this can't be true. And after this thing isn't published, who knows who has read this? I couldn't find any information about it anywhere. And I made the trip, and I couldn't find it, and I was crestfallen. And then I was looking in the right place, and I walked in, and I saw it was clear as day. There were people, dozens of people passing by, and they didn't know that they were looking at something that was maybe about as old as anything that you can see in Manhattan. And anybody who gave me an idea for an entry in the book, I gave them an acknowledgement in the back. And so I gave a little hat tip to Reggie Bolton in the back of the book, because he's the one who suggested this milestone, this strange thing. And for me, that makes the city feel like it truly fits into a web of history. Like, I feel it sinks into its history at that point for me. Like, I could see it expand back in time. These are moments that, to me, are really important.
Yeah, wow. Vic, that's something we should do.
let's look
for these markers.
Some of them are like that. They're more historical. Other ones are just fun. I mean, like, if you want to have a lot of fun, you should go to the Museum of Natural History on what they call ID Day. And that's when you can bring anything, really, it could be whatever you found under your couch, and they will identify it for you. Because they have all of their knowledgeable staff there. So if it's a feather or a chunk of cheese or a crayon or an old bone or whatever, take whatever, and they will give you the skinny on exactly what it is. And that was entrancing, because not only do you get to see the expertise brought to bear on these objects, but you get to see the kooky people who come and the crazy things that they bring.
Yeah, now that out of everything would be really cool for me, because I love history and I love museums, so that would be something that I would love to put on my sort of bucket list or list to actually do. And Michael and I, we were in New York, and, you know, we tried to go visit. So, Michael, you know, me as a journalist, I'm always thinking ahead, so the next time we're there, we have to try to get an interview with you, if you can try to make yourself available. And it would be fun to try to connect with you at one of the spots in the book. And we'll, of course, work with you on that behind the scenes. But I think that would be a great story, and I know our listeners and viewers would love to see it. And also would love to see you, too, and Michael interview you.
Absolutely.
Sounds fun. Yeah. I don't generally get tired of showing off the weird parts of the city. I can... I can ruin pretty much any dinner party at this point, to tell you the truth. As soon as people start talking about this or that topic, I have to swoop in and say, actually, it wasn't in August. It was in late, you know, July or whatever. I'm absolutely intolerable now. But if you can put up with me, then I'm happy to do it.
Absolutely. The book is called Secret New York, An Unusual Guide. You can go ahead and check it on Amazon.com, and it's also available through tmrives.com. Mr. TM, we're running out of time with you. Fantastic and so brilliant to talk to you. I think the book is fantastic. I haven't read it yet, but with what you're saying, boy, I'm ordering it right now as we're speaking.
Me
so.
Too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to thank you for joining us tonight, TM, and we're going to give you a call when we're in New York next time.
Sounds good. I hope you enjoy it. Yeah, even if you don't have your feet in New York, it through the different spots, it pretty much explains the entire history of the city. So if you're interested in it as just as a place, you will also find something there.
Absolutely, right. Buddy. I look forward to seeing you in person.
Sounds good.
You take care, man.
Okay. Have fun. Thanks a lot.
You too. Bye now. TM. Yeah, Vic. We got so much to look for now.
I know. And I love things. Things like that, because, you know, whenever you go to whether it's any city or country or state, you know, all of these places are known for, you know, the things that the tourists come to see. But then there's always that sort of second layer. And I only thought that stuff goes beyond the second layer. Like if you don't go and see, for example, in D.C., all the Smithsonian museums, and an extra bonus would be to visit Arlington National Cemetery or some of the smaller museums. But it seems like with New York in this book, now my head says that there's like a third and a fourth layer, you know, to cities that people just never think about.
Yeah, never think about it. I maybe forget about it as well. But let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about Charm City Animal Rescue right now, Victoria. You hooked me up with them out of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Fantastic no-kill shelter and stuff. How did you find out about them?
I actually found out about them because Carol Stover, who is a very, very good friend of mine, I work with her husband, George Stover, at WMAR-TV. Big shout-out to my old TV station in Baltimore. And George runs a company called Adventure Productions. And so, you know, they do, you know, very much support a lot of different events within the Baltimore community. And I know Carol and George are so passionate about the animal shelters and also animals and no-kill. So I believe, actually, Mark Sanders, who works with Adventure Productions, is going to join us on the line because Carol and these guys, they've got an event coming up in D.C., and I'm pretty sure some of the proceeds from that event will actually go to Charm City Animal Rescue to help save some of those sweet, you know, animals in Baltimore.
Fantastic. Mark Sanders, are you there? Thanks for joining at Home with Victoria.
Yes, here I am. Thanks
How
for having
you,
me on
buddy?
The show. I'm doing great. Thanks very much.
So tell us about what you're doing for Charm City. I'm very curious.
Well, we are doing a video premiere and fundraising event. There's going to be four live bands, hot sauce tastings, complimentary catered hors d'oeuvres, and complimentary wine. And, of course, we'll be premiering the new music video produced by our company for a local band called Mongoloidian Glow. The song's called Shiva, hence the name of the event. And a portion of the proceeds that are taken at the door will be donated to Charm City.
Wow. Vic,
that's
all I heard
wonderful.
Was free wine.
The only thing I thought of was hot sauce. Mark, that basically gives you an idea of our personalities. I think of hot sauce. He thinks of the wine. So you kind of have an idea of how we are. But, Mark, I wanted to actually say, first of all, to tell you to say hi to Carol and George for me when you see them. That will probably be tomorrow, I imagine. But what is it about Charm City Rescue and saving animals that interests you yourself?
Well, Adventure Productions, in addition to doing video production, marketing, and advertising, we also do a multiple award-winning nationally syndicated kids show called Aqua Kids, and it's all about empowering young people to learn what they can do to make a difference for aquatic animals and things like that. Plus, my sister and my brother-in-law, as you mentioned before, they have four rescued animals. And so charity organizations, especially anything that helps those special friends of ours that mm-hmm. don't have a voice, hence animals, is very important to us. And we thought this would be an excellent opportunity to use this event to bring attention to maybe an organization that might not have as much attention as some of the larger organizations here in Maryland, but still do the same
yeah.
important work.
And, you know, I think you're right, and especially, and I've covered, and Michael, too, we've covered a lot of the animal rescue shelters that are the kind of, I call them the sort of big daddies on the block that everybody knows about. So it is important that you, you know, also remember the smaller ones, too. And, Michael, we actually put the link to CharmCityAnimalRescue.com inside our chat room. So for those of you that may not be able to make it out to Mark's event with Adventure Productions and the video release coming up, then, you know, if you can't make it out to that, then you can certainly go on their website and they can tell you how you can donate. Mark, I wanted to ask you about ticket information. So exactly what day is it and are there still tickets available and how can we get them?
Oh, well, it's coming up this Saturday, June 15th, and tickets are at the door. So just you don't have to worry about advanced ticket sales or anything like that. And it's going all night long. We're starting at 7:30, and folks can come and go as they like. So you don't have to worry about anything. Just come to the door, and there you go.
Wow. Vic, maybe we should go ahead and add that on our list of things to do on Saturday night.
I know.
That's in Baltimore, not D.C. I'm so sorry. There we go.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but while I have
kind of...
it's a little far of a drive, but while I have both of you here, Vic and Mark, on Facebook lately there has been such an abundance of postings of particularly battered, abused animals. I would like to get both of your takes on what's going wrong. Why are people doing this to pets? Let's go to Mark first.
Well, I think that probably a lot of it starts with education for young people and learning to develop empathy for not only other human beings but for animals. And I hate to, you know, blame it on society, but unfortunately there are some less than positive role models out there, celebrities who get, I'm not going to name any names, but get in trouble for dog fighting and things like that. And some young people still might think that's okay to do that. I'm not really sure why it is that people, feel this way about animals, but hopefully, you know, we can raise some awareness and, talk about, what we can do to not only save animals, but to teach young people to respect animals and the environments they live in. And, you know, it's like one of the things we're trying to do with Aqua Kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and,
Vic,
Michael, I remember. It seemed like, and I'm not on Facebook anymore as much as what I used to be, I must admit, but I remember Mark and Mike at one point on Facebook, it seemed like every single time you logged on, there was a picture of a battered animal or, you know, someone had set a dog or cat on fire. I mean, stuff that just completely blows your mind that you think, how in the world can a human being do this to an animal? And I remember, you know, there was a part of me that was actually happy to see that because, you know, that is how you get awareness. If you show people and you give them the proof, hey, this is what's happening, this is what's going on, you know, you can't deny it because the proof is there, it's in front of your face. But then the flip side of that, you know, I would question, you know, is that the best way to do it, to kind of show these pictures, because they're so sad to look at and you get so mad and you get so angry. But I do remember feeling at one point that there was just an abundance of those types of pictures that were on that was on Facebook. So, you know, I kind of feel like it's best that we actually keep it out there, because if you keep it out there, then it's going to be in the public eye. People are going to talk about it. There's going to be a conversation. You know, you're going to share that with your friend, and then, you know, hopefully these events that, you know, Mark and Adventure Productions are going and also Aqua Kids, you know, will actually teach kids. And the last point on that, I remember when I was a young journalist and there was a study, and I don't know if it was the Department of Health and Human Services, so don't quote me on that, but it was a government agency, and they did a study, and it talked about the link between kids at a very young age who batter animals, that those kids, as teenagers and adults, actually grow up you know, to do bad stuff, and they have a very high rate of being incarcerated. So it was really interesting that there is a link between that, and there and the people that I interviewed was an organization that was trying to teach kids the importance of animals and to kind of give them that human connection between animal and people so that, you know, that you see that that is a living creature, that you can care for that person. But I never forgot that study because there was clearly a link between, you know, crazy people who, you know, kill people and do all these, you know, horrible things, that those were the same people that were killing animals and, you know, trying to kill a cat when they were little.
Yeah, it sickens me to such a thing. The most disturbing one I saw, I mean, granted, the ones that are battered and abused absolutely strike my and my friend, my call-up is in the chat room and stuff, and both him and I we're all big pet advocates, but there was one picture that really stuck out to me. It was a picture, and believe it or not, it was a pit bull, and the pit bull was on a gurney that they have at the vet shop, and it was just basically that he'd been beaten so much that he was scared of everything except for this one pink bunny rabbit that he held on to, and you couldn't take it away from him whatsoever, and he would carry it around. He would cower all the time. My heart was breaking by the time I finished watching the friggin' video. The fact that something that defenseless can be that frightened really, really strikes a chord with me. So, Mark, I want to thank you so much for doing what you do for Charm City Animal Rescue. Remind us again exactly where it is and what time.
It starts at 7:30, and it's at the Hour House. And those who'd like to get more information can go to www.shivashow1.com. And as a website dedicated just to the event. And the Hour House is right there on the corner of North Avenue and Howard Street. It's pretty much the cornerstone of the Baltimore Station North Arts District. They do live music, rehearsal space, recording, and they also show films.
Wow. Mark, do me a favor. When you're done with this interview, which is probably going to be pretty much right now, if you'd be so kind on my Gmail account where we've been connecting, email me the that web link that you did so I can post that on all of our social networking pages, if you'd be so kind as to do that.
Oh, certainly. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Great, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the
show. Thanks, Mark.
You got it, Mark. Take care. Vicky, I'm looking at the Charm City. I'm sorry. I was just looking at the Charm City Animal thing. They have a crab bake coming up in August that we should actually go. A crab feast. I love crabs.
I know. And you know how much I love crabs. And the picture is so cute. If you see it on the website, it's a little kitty cat. And on top of his head, he's looking up at this crab. But, Michael, what's the website again to let people know so they can check out their website, Charm?
It's charmcityanimalrescue.com, and you can find anything there from they have available animals adoptions. The adoptions are absolutely deliciously cute. I can't believe anybody would do half of these things to them. Plus, a lot of these ones are basically they take in pregnant cats, they take in sick cats. They're looking for special foster parents and long-term homes. Which I think, and I love the fact that they do it. They don't even have a brick and mortar building. They do it all through connections through social media, which I think is fantastic. Cuts the cost in half. So whatever you go ahead and give, when you log on, there's a donate page that you can go ahead and go through PayPal or your credit card or check or money order. But 100% of that money goes to directly funding, short-term care for these pets while they're being placed. And I think it's a fantastic organization.
Yeah, I think it's great. And actually, before we move on to Chase Allen and interview and listen to his song, you've got to tell the quick story. It popped in my mind because of Charm City Animal Rescue, how you got your cats, because that was through social networking.
Yeah, it was really – it's a funny story, actually. Linda Kenny-Baden, she's actually on HLN News. She's the nighttime correspondent. She's been covering the Jodi Arias trial like no one's business. The woman is incredibly smart. But it was one day close to Christmas. I believe it was the 14th was what it was, because it was snowing outside and Steve was sick still and blah, blah, blah. But this guy named Malachi was posting on Facebook that he had found this kitten not really a kitten. I mean, it was a little bit grown, but it was a small cat that was underneath his tenement in underneath the porch, and she was meowing and meowing and meowing, and finally he went ahead and found out who was causing the meowing. It was this little cat and everything, so he took the cat in the house, although he's highly allergic. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to go ahead and get rid of it for a few days. Finally, his allergies got to the point where he was going to have to take it into the shelter. Long story short, it was Linda Kenny's son, Malachi, who I went ahead and basically we were looking for a cat because I have Chia is now 18 years old, and I swear to God, I hold a mirror underneath her nose once in a while to make sure that she's breathing because she doesn't move that much anymore, but she's so old. But I thought it would be nice to go ahead and have a little bit of young in the house again, so I said, yes, I'll go ahead and take it. On Christmas Eve, him and his wife, Kirsten, drove the cat to our house. We named it Christina in honor of Christmas. And Christina gave birth to a litter of three around 3 years ago. So now I have the oldest brother and Christina and Chia, all three of them. But all that came through Facebook. I find that
excellent.
It's a touching story even when I tell it to myself.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the reason why I thought about that, because I was kind of like, oh, you see these pictures and sometimes it just makes me so angry. So I guess I wanted you to tell that, because the flip side is that that's a successful story of how social networking actually brought you and your cats together, and there was a happy ending. So I guess, you know,
yeah,
it kind of goes both ways.
No, absolutely. And like I said, love your pets, for God's sake. I mean, I hate to go ahead and bring this up on air, Victoria. Are you thinking about getting another dog?
Well, you know, I mean, for those of you that don't know, I lost my sweet Abby 2 weeks before Christmas, and we had her for 15 years. So you guys can imagine what my life was like. And actually, the day that she died on the same day that she was born. And
really?
So it was like, so that was my first experience of losing a pet. And I guess, I didn't really, you think about it, but I was really trying to keep myself busy. And then it was Christmas, so there were all these other family activities going on. But, Michael K., I have to tell you, somewhere around mid-January, I went into complete depression. I didn't know what was wrong with me until I realized it was because that was when I started to grieve for Abby. I mean, to really grieve her loss and that she wasn't here anymore. So, I'm kind of getting better. And it was really cool because I want to say the first week after she passed away, there was this little blue jay that would always come up to her window around the same time in the morning when I come downstairs for coffee and a bagel. And I would always see this blue jay, and it was so weird. And I would just say, "Hey, Abby, I see you." So anytime anything kind of weird happened out of the ordinary, I would kind of say, "I see you, Abby. Okay, Mommy sees you." So now I'm to the point like I am now that I can actually talk about it and not break down to cry. But I'm still not to the point yet where I want another dog. I mean, I know eventually I will get there and we will get there, but, everyone has their own time frame. I mean, some people can lose a dog, and within 2 or 3 weeks, they want another one right then and there. But I just think it's going to take me some time. I'm thinking I may be ready by the fall, but we'll see what happens. Now, the doctor, on the other hand, Victor, he's quite ready and eager to get another dog, so I'm the holdout.
Would you get the same breed, another golden?
It would either be a golden or a lab. You know, those breeds just kind of fit our lifestyle. Because, wherever we went, whether it was on vacation, it didn't matter. Abby was always with us, so we'd find a hotel that, took dogs. I mean, she went with us everywhere. I just think that breed just really fits our lifestyle. But I can tell you, and I can tell of our fans and listeners and supporters, I mean, I will get another dog. Because people, sometimes on Facebook will ask me that question, because I don't have any children except for you and my sister, who I call my kids. But they know that Abby was really, like my child. I mean, I lived and did everything for her. So eventually I will, but I'm just not there yet. So.
Yeah. No. Now, all in due time, and you know when you're ready, so absolutely, absolutely take your time. I just want to make mention really quickly, too, we got a big storm coming up from Chicago tomorrow. States of Delaware and New Jersey and Baltimore or Maryland are actually in line for some wicked weather. I spent the last 2 days clearing my pool from the flooding on Monday. I'm looking so forward to having to clear it again on Friday morning. But I just want to go ahead and remind everybody out there to go ahead and take your stuff inside, secure, be safe, absolutely. Vic, let's go to a little bit more music. I know Chase is actually on his way in. So this is Chase Allen with It's Your Love. Don't go away. When we get back, Chase Allen is in the house.
There's one thing that keeps
It's Your Love. Joining us now, the man himself, Mr. Chase Allen. Welcome back to At Home in Victoria, my friend.
Hey, Michael, how you doing, man? How you guys doing tonight?
Good. We're doing fine, buddy, absolutely. And apparently you are doing fantastic. You got lots of stuff going on. You changed PR people, and tell us how that happened. 10,000 extra Twitter followers in a week? I mean, how does that go?
It's been pretty marvelous, actually. Actually, I was introduced to Kelly Lee. She's a PR, has a PR firm up in Toronto, Canada. And by actually, believe it or not, a Christian rapper online, he heard my stuff. Actually, he heard that song, It's Your Love. And he said, hey, there's somebody I want you to meet. So I contacted her online, and we through phone conversations, and we just hit it off. And she loved my music, loved my style, loved what I was about, my tenacity and my love for music. And so she basically helped turn me toward more of the social aspect of things, you know, Twitter. And we released about 6-7 weeks ago, we released my music through Twitter. And, man, it has been wonderful. The people, the fans have been fantastic because I'm very fan-based to begin with. I love to talk to begin with, Michael, so it was just a natural fit. So I interact with all my fans. And I within, like, Five weeks, I've garnished another, probably, like you said, 4 weeks, 10,000, 11,000, 12,000 new fans. And it's just been fabulous. And I've got, you know, my music, they love the music, love my style, that, you know, the rock style, but yet a little bit of country, you know, in there. And so, man, it's been fabulous. And she just, man, she has me working hard. I'm working hard, you know. And,
no,
and,
that's fantastic, buddy. She's working so hard for you. She hasn't had time to friend me on Facebook. So go ahead and make that happen for me, if you wouldn't mind.
I definitely will, brother.
I'm just kidding, buddy. So up there in Nashville, you got a lot of things in the hopper. You're shooting a new pilot for a television series.
Well, actually, it's a series for Drew Burke. He's as a media consultant up here, and he's worked with a lot of people all over the country. And we have a pilot. It's not really a television pilot; it's like an internet thing, but it's called The Amazing. It's a behind the scenes look at really what's going on and stuff in the real Nashville, my clients, you know, and how I interact with Nashville. In the music and industry and stuff. So it's really neat. The behind the scenes of from players to everyday life, you know, of a Nashville artist and stuff. So that's been really cool. And actually, I got to do another part two of it, you know, coming up here. But I've really, really been busy. And actually, I haven't even played I haven't played live in 2 months now, and that's about killing me. But I've really had to take care of the business and with the in releasing, because what happened is that in Nashville is with the labels, what's happening, you know, with the music industry, is that Nashville is a hard nut to crack, you know, and so I said, they said, well, let's release it international.
Yeah.
And
that's
what we did. And so,
yeah, absolutely.
And you know, so they're wonderful.
Yeah. Chase and Victoria, I don't know if either of you have seen the television series Nashville. Chase, let's go to you with this question first.
Yeah.
Have you watched it at all, Chase?
Yes, I have. I've watched a couple of...
Is it very accurate as to what's happening in Nashville?
Well, yes and no. There's always a human aspect, you know, to anything that goes on behind the scenes with as far as what's going on and stuff. So I'd have to say some of that, sure, it happens and stuff, but the real guys at the ground level, the guys that are in the music world doing it every day thing, it's a little different in the show, you know, and I know a lot of that has to do with a lot of the actors, our actresses and that are women and stuff around their careers and stuff, so yeah, there's always going to be some truth to that, you know, and it's cool because they use like the Bluebird and locations here in Nashville, and so, yeah, I mean, there's some truth, but really, honestly, there's a lot of non-truth too. So, you know, but that's Hollywood,
hey, Chase,
man. You know,
Chase.
Yeah,
again,
Hi, welcome to the show, and again, thank you for being here. I wanted to ask you, when it comes to your music, the two songs that Michael played, you didn't hear the one that we played at the top of the hour and the one that we just played. I'm always amazed right now, and it may not be correct, but it's sort of how I view the world and what it seems to me. But I really feel like, you know, and you probably have answered this question before, that country music, you know, back in the day, you know, country music only really specifically was listened to by sort of a certain group of people. But mm-hmm. now it seems like it's become a crossover where country music, you know, almost to me has kind of done a little bit of a reverse, and it goes into the pop category, because you not only have country music fans that love these songs, you've got people that would generally listen to pop and R&B and alternative and different types of music that now like country music.
Sure. And you know what? My background is Southern gospel, okay, at a younger age, and it progressed to rock and roll. But I studied classical music and jazz, all that. But I was a rock and roll. That's why I always call myself, I'm a rocker walking down this country road, you know. Mm-hmm. And so for me, even, I know exactly what you're talking about, Victoria, because a lot of my fans I'm bringing in, they don't like country, but they like me. And then I have a lot of my fans are country fans too, because I, you know, with that edge. So you're right, it has changed. But when I came to Nashville, I said, why can't somebody? Because I was gonna go back to LA or Nashville. I went back and forth. So I came to Nashville. I said, why can't somebody come here and use an approach, a totally different approach, unique? You know, my voice is already unique, but have a really unique sound with an edge, you know, like a real edge to it. Kind of a cool, like I tell a lot of people, if Keith Urban, Rick Springfield, I'm Billy Squire. So it's like, you know, I kind of wanted to even be on the edge of Keith, you know. And I'm a big Keith Urban fan, okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, I wanted to bring it vocally too. Because my voice is, I have more of a rock voice.
Yeah.
And combining that with the country, it's kind of been a uniqueness that is drawing people in different genres. You know, it's amazing. You know, I have hip hop, people in hip hop that are loving it. You know, so
yeah.
I mean, all genres, and that's a great thing for me, and that's what I wanted to set out to do, and I'm continuing to do that with my new material, you know, too. You know, so you're definitely right. There has been a change, but I want to change it. I want to not change it, but I want to just do something totally uniquely so different that when people hear me, they'll say, that's Chase.
Right.
You know, that's
Chase. Well, and
Chase
I think what it does also, it just, it opens up the audience base, because where, you know, whereas before it may have just focused on a certain, whether it was region or age or group of people, now it just opens up your audience base, and it focuses on, like, you know, three or four or five or six different groups of people or different age groups. So, I mean, I just think for that industry or any industry, I just think that's great. I wanted to switch gears a little bit and have you talk about an award. Did you just get a really big award?
Well, actually, I got there was a NEMA award that I got last year for Nashville Independent Top Male Artist of the Year, and I got a Academia Award out of Beverly Hills Hollywood for EP for Best Country EP and stuff. So yeah, it's always I love awards and stuff, but you know, for me it's all about the music. I'm pretty much a purist, you know, and that's why. This media stuff, because everybody always used to say, Chase, people are going to love this stuff. You got to get it out there through the media, you know, through the social media. And I was like, oh, you know, kind of hesitant about it. But now it's like, wow, I should have done this a long time ago, you know. And, you know, and so yeah, I love awards, you know. But I am truly always about music and the fans, you know. And I'm totally fan-based. I love my fans, and I love meeting people and through all – walks of life, and it's great. And Twitter's helped me do that. It's just the outpouring support is mind-boggling. It's amazing. I'm an artist that do love his fans, you know. And I never will forget where I come from. So it's very important for me to stay grounded, and you know, to what I'm doing, and not lose sight to my ultimate and my journey to my ultimate goal. My goal, you know. So.
Chase, that's why we love you, is your sincerity and your absolute talent. Before we go ahead and go into any more information, let's go ahead and play See Amazing. It's an amazing song. So the Chase Allen with See Amazing. When we get back, we're going to go ahead and talk about the new CD coming out in July. Don't go away. More with Chase Allen when we get back.
All right.
Players in Nashville played on Faith Hills, Tim McGraw, Luke Bryan. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was great. I met B. James. He actually played on See Amazing, and I met him through that way. And then he came out and played with me in the Rutledge. And he loved what I was doing, who I was about, you know, what I was about, my tenacity, and believed in me. And so we started a relationship, and we've been working on and off for the last 4 months, and you know, and playing on redoing a couple parts on the old songs, and yeah, it's been great. He's a great. I mean, he's been here 20 years. He's played with Michael Jackson. I mean, he's one of the best here in Nashville,
yeah.
And great guy, wealth of knowledge, you know, and so it's been fabulous. And B. James isn't involved with any of my new stuff that I'm working on. It's kind of interesting how I'm doing. I'm going back and recording some great tracks, actually radio singles in there, and I'm using guys that I've met actually played live with me, and it's kind of like, you know, the rock and roll thing. I mean, you know, bringing the guys. These guys are studio guys, but they're live players. So
yeah.
They're all songwriters in their own right. So it's kind of, you know, it's just a whole different sound and a whole different aspect. And so I'm really excited about that. And people are going to, I really feel that they're going to really enjoy the songs. We're cutting like four singles. And so it's going to be a little more, it's going to be a little more edgier. And but still in the country vein of things. So I'm excited, guys. People are excited to hear it. And when we're actually releasing one of the songs, we're having Kelly Lee is having a Twitter party June 28th. And I'm going to, it's going to cut it close, but I'm going actually to the studio June 26th and 27th. And we're going to do one of the songs. I'm playing live actually for like hundreds of thousands of people, you know, two songs from the studio actually, June 28th.
Fantastic.
And we're doing Brand New Day and we're doing See Amazing. We're releasing Brand New Day, which I've had a great outpouring of. I mean, people really like that song, and we're cutting that, and it's going to be a fabulous song. So there's a lot of things that are happening, Michael. If I can share with you, I mean, they're remixing a couple of my songs in Europe, in the Middle East.
Wow, fantastic,
buddy! Believe it or not, they're going to use them for their, you know, because in Europe, electronic and dance, that's real popular. So they're going to release a couple of my songs in Europe for that.
That's,
you know,
excellent.
So
great. Vic, actually, I just want to go ahead and make mention very quickly. Chase has a crowdfunding through Indiegogo.com, and you're going to be going to Toronto at the end of July to make your official video. And you can go ahead and Google it on Indiegogo. But, Chase, are you excited? Have you been to Canada before? That's a silly question.
Yeah,
but
I've been there.
Yeah?
Actually, I've been there a couple times, two or three times, in a great place. Toronto's a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole, I'm excited about that whole thing. And the Indiegogo.com, I mean, I got great gifts. I mean, giveaways, you know, I mean, it's just not CDs. It's like dinner with me, interactive, you know, concert, two nights in
Grand
Ole Opry.
Chase, Michael wants the dinner with you, just to let you know.
Hey, man. Yeah.
I'll just invite Chase over here. We'll have it by the pool.
Yeah.
I'll cook some wieners on the grill.
Yeah,
he can
go,
play.
I love the grill.
And Chase, if you go over to Michael's, because I think actually Michael and I wasn't in town for that, but Shelley Rand has been to your wonderful backyard with the swimming pool and all of the tropical-looking flowers. And has she played there at your place?
Not yet. We're actually trying to go ahead and get Shelley out here in August. We want to do a little bit of a memorial for Steve. And so I'm trying to get her and Drew out here. And Chase, if you're not doing anything, please pop
hey,
on by
go.
Delaware. But
I actually never have met Shelley, but she's been wanting me. She's been texting me about going over to before she plays. She wants me to come out and hear her. And I just haven't had time yet, so I got to apologize for that. But,
oh, honey, you got to go over to El Chico. I think she's there every Thursday and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and for those who haven't met Shelley Rand, just an absolute delight. She does her intros and outros, and one of the kindest and most – you know what? Shelley's one of those people, Chase, that she's so pretty in person that you almost can't look directly at her. It's like looking at the sun.
Yes,
your eyes just kind of –
look away.
You know, it's one of those things.
Look away.
Yeah, you know, she's really talented, you know, and I'm definitely going to be coming out and going out and seeing her soon, you know.
Michael, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but speaking
of
pretty, I have to drool a little bit on Chase because I feel like this is the opportunity for me to kind of get that in there. So before we go on air, I was looking at your site on Reverb, and you guys can go on there and take a look at it. But those pictures of you are pretty hot and sexy, sir, I must say so for myself. And your hair looks fabulous. Who's doing your hair?
Actually, I didn't pay anything for those pictures. Believe it or not, no, I'm getting new pictures actually done in Toronto. So, I mean, those came out. It was a lot of fun. They were done actually in Franklin, Tennessee, and really neat. This is about, you know, this is a historical area, and there's so many good places to take pics in Nashville area and stuff. So, I mean, it was real, you know, fun that day. But I was actually really tired. I had to do this show or something. I can't remember.
Don't you love it when like somebody like Chase, or like when we have all the different, you know, actors and all these fabulous people that come on our show, and we give them a compliment and say, oh, you look fabulous. We love this. We love that. And then they say, oh, well, you know, actually, I was kind of tired that day. I really wasn't feeling well. So what brings to my mind is, well, for the love of all things alive, if you weren't tired, then what would those pictures have looked like? I love when you, like, when you Hollywood types do that. It just cracks me up.
I tell you what, we took like 1,000 pictures, 1,200 pictures, and I can send you many pictures. I did not look very good because it takes 1,000 to get. It seems like it takes like 100 to get like two
just to
of
get
them
five.
Like, yeah, yeah, you know, like five. To, I mean, so a lot of them I was like, oh my gosh, hide that, burn that, you know. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I mean, seriously, don't talk to us, Victoria and I, about pictures, because every picture we take of us, it's always like, we're fat. Move it on.
Right.
I don't like that one.
Yeah, put that one back. That sucks. Yeah, that's true.
I hate taking pictures, you know. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's really, you know, I love meeting people and talking to people. And it's funny because I have a lot of the artists, female artists, in Nashville, they follow me, independent artists and female, they really dig what I'm doing, and they support me a lot. And they actually, a lot of them want to do duets with me, or helping producing, writing with them and stuff. So I always, my music has really hit heavy with women and other artists and stuff. And so, and the guys like it too, because the guys want to rock, and this new stuff is, you know, a little more rocking, you know. So, I mean, it's more of that, you know, guitar oriented. I can say that. The new stuff is really heavy guitar and fun music and stuff. So, I mean, and so I'm just trying to be myself, you know, and when I write, and I'm not the type of guy that they got to throw. The guys know that they don't throw the red carpet out for Chase. I'm the type of guy that I'm working production, the writing, the singing, the playing. So I'm a hands-on guy, and they know that I'm, you know, I'm the first guy to get there and the last guy to leave. So, and that's that I'm a very hard worker, and I'm not perfect, but, you know, I do the best I can. And so that the live guys really like me, and I have an opportunity to work with a lot of studio guys too. So, and believe it or not, I didn't know a single soul when I came to Nashville. Nobody had.
Wow.
I sold my car. I sold so much stuff, you know, just to get, you know, to where, you know, it was a grassroots thing, you know, because I didn't have, you know, hundreds of thousands or thousands of dollars and stuff. So I basically had to, you know, really do it, you know, and a lot of guys have done this, just not me. There's a lot of people that have done it that way. And so it's been a ground, you know, thing from the ground that I've really worked hard, and I continue to work hard. But I'm not afraid to work, and I'm not afraid to get in there and get dirty with it. You know, to get messy with the guys. That's why the guys, they like playing with me, you know. You know, and they like jamming out too.
Chase, talent needs a leap of faith every once in a while, and you certainly took it. And once again, you're proving to be one of Nashville's staples, and as charming as hell, buddy. And Chase's new EP comes out in July with 4 new radio singles. Go ahead and check him out on Facebook, on Reverb Nation. And Chase, once again, I wish you every continued success. You're always a delight to have on. And you know, you can always give me a call and get on the show, and you got new stuff in the hopper,
oh,
buddy.
Yeah.
You
keep an ear out. You're going to like this new stuff. And I'm always available on Twitter, too. You know, I mean, that's where I really do a lot of Twitter. That's where I'm usually at a lot, you know, and so it's just a lot going on right now. I'm in a couple magazines, and I've got things going, you know. So it's really taken flight, and it's because people actually, they like the music and they like who I am and what I'm about, you know. And so I'm excited, you know. I'm really.
Well, who couldn't like Chase Allen? I mean, come on, seriously, dude.
It's been a lot of work, man. I tell you, it is not something that. Oh my gosh, I could tell Michael off air. I could tell you stories.
Buddy, I'm sure you can. And you know what? It wouldn't harm you to go ahead and send me a little of those advanced tracks too, because I love getting music. And I promise I won't share with anybody. And just to let you know too, a very wise man said it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. So
yeah.
You are on year 10. Yeah. This is your year. I cannot wait to go ahead and hear more from you, buddy.
Oh, amen to that, man. It's coming, and it's And so I really appreciate your support and Victoria, and you guys are great. You got a great thing going, and I love your show. You know,
thank
you guys are wonderful
so
people.
Much.
True, you meet. That's one
well,
of the best.
We're a mirror, Chase. So you're a wonderful person as well. You know, always a delight chatting with you, buddy. We're running out of time. Please say hi to everybody your way, and go see Shelly Rand.
Right, I will. I'll tell her you said hi.
Please do, buddy. You take care.
You take care. Thank you very much for having me.
Love you, man. You take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. Vic, isn't he a nice guy?
Yeah. I mean, I love Chase, and I just love all of these guys. And, you know, it is, I was sitting there thinking when you said that it takes, 10 years to be famous. It's always amazing because, you know, you do have those stars that honestly don't really have a lick of talent, and auto-tuning just gets them to where they are, and, you know, they kind of have a machine that pushes them, and they sell those, you know, pop records and blah, blah, blah. We all know those type of artists. And then you have artists like Chase, who's really, really good. He's a true artist. I mean, the guy can sing. You know, he crosses over to different music genres, and, you know, you just want that day, you know, to come for him. And I really, really believe it is. I really do.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's just around the corner, especially with the new representation and stuff. It's so important to have, you know, good PR, especially even social media. You have to go ahead and really, really push it. And this new girl that he's with is really doing some great stuff for him. So, I'm thrilled. I'm happy for him. Because I think when we first introduced him to our listeners, I think he was only trending at around 9,000 on YouTube and stuff, and since that he's grown into the hundreds of thousands. So he's definitely on his way. But I want to go ahead and take time to go ahead and thank all of our guests. TM Rives, go ahead and check out his new book on Amazon.com. The new book is called Secret New York, An Unusual Guide. Mark Sanders doing a great benefit for Charm City Animal Rescue, and you were listening to Chase Allen. I want to thank everybody up in chat. Johnny Come Latelys include Bob Sipes and Richard Cutting, as well as want to thank guest 4154 and Mike Cullop, my brother from another mother.
Yeah.
Vic, I'm thinking we should go ahead and end, since we're singing Shelley's praises, I think we should end
praises
with a little bit of Shelley Rand. What do you think?
I think it's great, yeah. And for those of you, Michael, you mentioned it too, the voice of At Home with Victoria, that's Shelley. So she does all of our ins and outs, and whenever we can try to get her to do anything else for her, she's very kind enough to do that. So we always, always appreciate that. But, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight, and then Michael's going to take us on out with some Shelley Rand.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. For Michael Kay, I am Michael Kay for At Home with Victoria. Vic, have a good night.
dream when she's under someone's thumb. She sees a good time pass her by and wants to get her some. The first step is the hardest. It's called making up your mind. She may not know what's up ahead, but she knows what she left behind. Enough through, no more. Gonna be the woman he won't see no more.
Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.